This is The Takeaway. And for many in America, this incident back in 1992 represented a shot heard round the world, a new revolutionary war against the U.S. government.
Two people have already died. Neither side seems ready to back down.
The FBI says they will not leave until Weaver and his friend Kevin Harris, who lives with him, are in custody.
Everyone here in Naples agrees that Weaver is a white supremacist who just wants to be left alone. For police, he is a fugitive on a federal arms charge, heavily armed and dangerous.
In August of 1992, the FBI and the United States Marshals Service surrounded a cabin in the mountains of northern Idaho, Ruby Ridge, an area that had long attracted white supremacists and anti-government dissenters. Randy Weaver moved his family to a 20-acre piece of land to separate from society. He was wanted on a criminal weapons charge but refused to deal with authorities. And the August standoff resulted in the death of a deputy U.S. Marshal, Weaver's wife, Vicky, and their son, Sammy. Our friends at Retro Report have looked back at the lessons of Ruby Ridge and how it seeded a generation of right-wing radicalism in America. Joining us now is Eric German, a producer with Retro Report. Why was Ruby Ridge and that incident such a challenge to the U.S. government and such a rallying cry for so many other groups?
Well, the incident at Ruby Ridge began back long before 1992, but it started out with a man named Randy Weaver, who was wanted on a very minor weapons charge, who refused to appear in federal court. And it culminated when hundreds of federal agents surrounded his remote cabin, shot his son, his 14-year-old son, to death, and then a day later shot his wife, Vicky, while she held the family's 10-month-old baby in her arms. And so just that bare outline of the story, that you had a lot of federal power coming down on a family in a way that ended so tragically for members of his family, resonated very, very widely as a tragedy that the federal government didn't want to repeat.
And when you go there today, what are the echoes of that time and that period of time? How is it remembered?
Well, it's remembered on the radical right as sort of the opening shot in the war that began between the radical right and the federal government. It's remembered in law enforcement circles as an incident that you never, ever want to repeat. You know, no matter what a person is wanted for, no matter how outside of the mainstream their beliefs may be, shooting them down or shooting down members of their family is just no longer an option. And so federal law enforcement and law enforcement in general has become a lot more patient when they stand off against barricaded suspects today.
Here's Mark Potok, senior fellow at the Southern Poverty Law Center.
The Ruby Ridge standoff became a kind of founding myth of the radical right. It not only made the government look bad, it was bad. People, whatever views they have, whatever illegal activities they have, should not be shot down by government snipers when they are not actively threatening the life of somebody.
And Ruby Ridge was evoked by Timothy McVeigh in the Oklahoma City bombing. It was evoked in Waco at the standoff at the Branch Davidians.
And when you take Ruby Ridge together with Waco, it formed a kind of 1-2 punch. And that was ultimately what forced federal law enforcement to really take a hard look at the way they deal with crisis situations and standoffs and to change it in a huge way. It used to be that if somebody was standing off against the law with weapons, you would show up with a gun and a megaphone, and one way or the other, it'd be over really fast. And now the federal government has said, look, time is not the issue that it once was, and we can wait it out. And if it costs millions of dollars to wait it out, so be it.
Eric German, producer with Retro Report, thinking back to the 1992 Ruby Ridge standoff, bloody standoff that's produced many, many lessons for law enforcement in the years since. Eric, thanks so much.
Sure, thank you.